From the newsroom of WBUR, I'm Daryl C. Murphy. Welcome to Consider This from Boston. We're now in the second week of major disruptions to the T. The Orange Line is shut down for a month, a section of the Green Line is closed as well, and now the MBTA is cutting back bus service on 43 different routes due to a major shortage of drivers. Joining us now to discuss the state of the MBTA is Taylor Dolvin, transportation reporter for the Boston Globe, and her colleague Abdallah Fayyad, a Globe columnist. Taylor, Abdallah, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Oh, yeah. So you were both planning to get together to compare notes on the T this week, and we wanted in on that discussion. We knew there was going to be some good stuff, you know?
Yeah, I'm always jealous of Abdallah's stories, and he recently rode the Orange Line shuttle with the mayor, so definitely wanted to hear more about that.
But I will tell you that Taylor's notes are definitely more informative. She knows everything about the T, so definitely more beneficial for me to see those notes than her.
So, all right, well, let's get right into it. We've known the Orange Line's been shut down and part of the Green Line, but now bus service is getting cut back as well. Taylor, can you tell us more about this?
Yeah, so the T has had a really tough time hiring enough drivers. So actually way back in December, the T cut bus service to begin with, saying that they didn't have enough drivers. And then starting this past Sunday, they further cut service. So 43 routes will see decreased service, including the three routes that are free to ride in Boston. So, you know, I think riders are really frustrated. I was out talking to riders before these cuts, and they were already upset about the reliability of the bus. And so I think this will make it, you know, even more difficult for people to get around.
Right, right. And what's the T saying about this?
They say that they have, you know, they've put together a aggressive hiring campaign. They're offering new bonuses if you sign up to be a bus driver, tuition reimbursement. But they just don't pay enough to starting bus drivers as other transit agencies, even within Massachusetts. So it's sort of a hard sell as of late, but they say they're really trying.
So now, Abdallah, you recently wrote a column for the Globe titled "Wu's Stubborn Optimism is Exactly What This Transit Crisis Needs." It's largely focused on the ongoing Orange Line shutdown. Is it fair to say you see some good opportunities coming out of this?
Yes, I think it's a great opportunity for the city and the state to show people what government can do on short notice. Remember that, you know, the MBTA didn't announce the Orange Line shutdown until early August. So the government really only had 2 weeks to create alternate routes and all of these alternatives that people now have instead of hopping on the Orange Line. And so it was, you know, this opportunity to pour, you know, a massive amount of resources to build pop-up bike lanes, pop-up bus lanes, you know, to create a shuttle service that can, you know, flow relatively freely through the city without having traffic disruptions. And, you know, that was all done in the span of 2 weeks. And it shows people that when there's a will to create the infrastructure for good public transit, to move people around, to make the city more mobile, when there's that will, it's totally doable. We can close streets and only have them open to pedestrians, buses, and bikes. We can close streets to general traffic. That always seems like it's such a far-fetched idea for a lot of commuters, particularly those who drive cars. But once you do it, you know, people find alternatives. And so, you know, the opportunity here really is to show people what Boston can be like with more bus lanes, with more bike lanes, a Boston that's more pedestrian friendly. It's on a, you know, relatively small scale, but it's a window of opportunity to show people that, you know, our streetscape can change.
Taylor, is the benefit of fixing up the Orange Line in this way, shutting it down for a month, is it worth the cost to riders? Do you think the line will really be fixed after this month?
Yeah, it's really hard to know exactly what the Orange Line experience will look like, especially because the T also announced last week that it's going to keep in place service cuts on the Orange Line and the other subway lines that it put in place in June. So, you know, it's the T has really been touting that the service will be better on the Orange Line after the 30-day shutdown, because trains will be able to hopefully move faster because tracks will be repaired, and so it will be safer to go at higher speeds. But because these service cuts are still going to be in place, we're going to have fewer trains on the tracks. So it's really hard to know how much wait times will improve, if they will at all. People are really hoping for, you know, a huge improvement. And it's because the service cuts will still be here, it's hard to know exactly what that will look like.
Mm. And so, you know, with all this in mind, what ultimately does the T need to function better going forward? You know, more money, better leadership, all the above. What do you think?
Abdullah, you want to take this, or do you want me to?
I guess that's what everyone's trying to figure out. The T has gotten an influx of cash. But at the same time, you know, the money that's required to build the kind of public transit system that's safe, reliable, you know, and on time is a big number. So it does need money. It needs a lot more workers. There have been staff shortages, most dangerously with train dispatchers. You know, one of the FDA report's findings earlier this year was that train dispatchers were working 20-hour shifts with four-hour breaks in between. And, you know, that's a pretty dangerous, you know, employment practice. It's very dangerous labor standards that has put people's lives at risk, has increased the likelihood of derailment. So the MBTA really needs to invest in creating pipelines for workers. The T has been plagued and by mismanagement. It has been mismanaged for a very long time. And so it needs to get its act together from the very top first, if any of that is going to work.
If I can just jump in on the funding side, you know, the T's operating budget is being propped up by federal COVID-19 relief funds. And those are going to run out as soon as next summer. So there's, you know, will be a $200 million plus hole in the T's operating budget. And there's no plan as of now about how that will be filled. And so, you know, this is something we've seen the T sort of kick the can down the road on when it comes mm-hmm. to sustainable funding. And so it will be interesting to see how the legislature, how the new governor address that.
Got it. Makes sense. Now, Abdullah, another major focus of your column was Mayor Wu herself. You call her stubbornly optimistic about Boston's transit future. For example, here is Wu talking about fare-free bus service.
Free buses are the ideal place where we would capture so much of this value. It's a place where we see the widest inequities across our transit system, 64 hours more per year that Black bus riders spend on city buses compared to white riders.
But yet, they're cutting back bus frequency this fall. How do you square that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the optimism here, you know, is admirable. But, you know, for all the problems that, you know, Taylor has now outlined, you know, there's a question as to whether or not it's warranted. And, you know, it's certainly what leaders should be thinking about. They should be thinking about, you know, big ideas and where they want to see the team, not just next year, but 50 years from now and 100 years from now. And they have to start working toward building that program. And so, you know, that's why it's admirable that there is the stubborn optimism that you can have free buses, that you can have an expansive public transit system, because that's the system you want to see. The problem with that is just that there isn't that much in the near term that shows that that system is anywhere close to being a reality. And so, you know, the mayor doesn't really have that much power when it comes to changing the MBTA system on her own. I mean, the MBTA is a statewide agency and it's not run by the mayor. She can use her bully pulpit, which is why the optimism is good. You know, she has a large platform and she's raising awareness about the issue, and she's putting pressure on the MBTA. But in the end, it requires, you know, a lot of actors, including the legislature, as Taylor just pointed out, including the next governor, to be really invested in building that transit system.
Right. And to your point, you know, the governor's seat is on the ballot for November. What can the next governor do to help the T improve?
Yeah, I think, I mean, top of mind for me is this funding question, and really what kind of new revenue or increased revenue the next governor will advocate for, because this hole that I mentioned will be there, whether it's patched over come next summer, then, you know, it will be there soon after. So that's really top of mind. I think also, you know, making sure the system is ready for climate emergencies, big storms, things like that. I think looking at the next governor's term through the next part of this decade, those things will come into sharper focus, I think.
Understood. That's real. Okay, so we're going to wrap it up now. Thank you both so much for taking the time to talk with us. We're just going to take a quick break, and then I kind of want to talk to you about something transportation related, but a little different, a little lighter, if you will. Okay, so the T is one way to get around the city, but I find that Boston is very walkable. It's one of my favorite things to do in the city, one of my favorite things about the city. So for my last question for the both of you, do you have a favorite place where you like to take a stroll?
I live on Beacon Hill, so I walk to work downtown, which is, you know, nice everyday walk. But for leisurely strolls, I think the Esplanade is a great place. It's by the river, very pretty. You can get onto it right by the Longfellow Bridge and the Charles MGH stop. It's great for, you know, runners and bikers and walkers. So I highly recommend it.
Excellent. Cool. Yeah, I was just on there this weekend, man. I must agree. A beautiful, beautiful stretch. I was biking, though.
But, yeah, it's great for bikers, runners, and walkers. Sometimes I get in the way of the bikers, so I'm sorry about that.
Taylor, how about you?
Yeah, mine is definitely the Southwest Corridor. I think that, you know, walking on a walking path next to a bike path, next to a train, that it's just really cool. And I think the history of the corridor and the fight to save it and, you know, make sure a giant expressway didn't divide a city neighborhood is really, it's just sort of special to be there years later and enjoy the green space. And people really use it, you know, for leisure, but also so many people, especially this summer, it feels like are commuting via bike on the path. So it's been really fun to see recently.
Gotcha. So the Southwest Corridor, that stretches through a couple different neighborhoods. Where do you enter?
Yeah, so I'm in JP, Jamaica Plain. So I, you know, I can, it's just a few blocks from my house and I can, it stretches from, I guess, the Forest Hill stop, the MBTA station, all the way to Ruggles, I think, is where, as far as I've walked it.
Yeah. I've also walked that, and that is a pretty stretch, too. I really like how I've walked it in the South End. So I like how it just cuts through the neighborhoods and you're just in the midst of all this brick and these brownstones around you, you know? It's really cool. So, you know, that's it. Thank you so much for coming through and talking with us. Abdallah and Taylor, this was really great. Your expertise and your perspective on this, I'm sure people will find helpful as they, you know, navigate their situation with the T moving forward in these coming months, you know?
Thanks so much for having us.
Thank you, Daryl. Thanks for having us on.
That's Boston Globe transportation reporter Taylor Dolvin and Globe columnist Abdallah Fayyad. And that's all for today. This episode was produced by Wilder Fleming with sound design from Matt Reed. It was edited by Ben Brock Johnson. And from the newsroom of WBUR, I'm your host, Daryl C. Murphy. I'll talk to you tomorrow. By the way, every day you hear us tackle news in Boston on Consider This. Well, another one of WBUR's programs uses a wider lens. On Point, hosted by Meghna Chakrabarty, sets out to make sense of the world together. From the economy and healthcare to politics and the environment, and much more. On Point talks with newsmakers and real people about the issues that matter most. Get the On Point podcast wherever you listen. Just search On Point and hit subscribe.